K-Mud Podcast presents.
This is K-Mud Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your host, Steve Dodge, and most of the time, Sunshine Sarah Seda. She is down in Jamaica and coming back next week. And in case you couldn't guess, I just couldn't get a guess for this evening. This is the end of the year. Somehow, guys, somehow we made it. And I'd like to go over predictions, both good and bad. No surprise there. And what happened last year and what is up for next year. I mentioned I'd like to get your input. And really, all of you marijuana culture and industry participants are the ones that really have your ear to the ground on this kind of thing. Anyway, I do want to give a call out to our sponsor, Humboldt Seed. Humboldt Seed Company really rocks. They're really nice people, really helpful. And in fact, they're my seed source. Last year, I grew some utterly raging pot, and it was from their feminized seeds. So check out their website. Check out their catalog. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So I did a little research looking out there on the internets for the show. And some of the things I found weren't surprising at all. California is leading the industry, way and above everybody else. California sales was $5.1 billion, with a B, dollars. That's a lot of money. Now, they called it sales, so I'm a little confused. Was it money farms made? I don't think so. Was it dispensaries? Was it the distributorships? What I know for sure is I have personally seen very little of that $5.1 billion. Now, a good deal of the information I found had a reporting focus that was on bigger players. Do we have a call? Well, I want to get them in.
I've heard of feminized seeds a lot, and I have never understood how you could do that. So if you know anything about how they go about that, I would love to hear you speak. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Hey, thanks for your call. I've read a couple of books on seed growing and making seeds, and I've frankly relied on people with more knowledge than I to work out the feminized part. What little I know, feminized seeds start out as regular seeds and then they're treated. Now, I believe they're treated with a substance called colchicine, which, as it turns out, is real poisonous. But it may not be what is used currently. There may be some other substances or practices. I do know that for a period of time in the feminized side of seeds, you couldn't really rely on them. I had feminized seeds pretty much across the board in my 10,000, and I had under 1-1.5% males, which I thought was pretty good, but frankly, a little scary. Because as any of you out there know, miss a male, just one, and those prolific little guys will make a mess out of your garden. Now, I was ever ready with that, and so were my people. And we didn't have any heavy seeds. We didn't actually have any seeds. But it wasn't for lack of finding male plants. We did find some. If one of our listeners out there knows more about making feminized seeds, I'd like to hear about it. I actually don't know if Humboldt Seed Company makes their own feminized seeds. I wouldn't be surprised if they basically distribute already feminized seeds. Now, to get back to my little narrative, reporting focus on bigger players, I was kind of disappointed when I realized that's where most of the information was coming from. Because as listeners know, I'm a big champion of the small farmer, the small grower. And in fact, during this show, I got something to say about that. But first, I got a quote. And this quote could be real good for the small guy. As of 1/1/25, which is 2 days away, guys, the state of California recently allowed Amsterdam-style cafes, which would sell non-cannabis-infused food and non-alcoholic beverages in a more open social setting than is currently allowed. This has come to fruition through Assembly Bill 1775. Now, Sunshine and I have been wondering when is the legislature going to catch on? And it looks like they're making some attempt to catch on with this bill and its passage. The hope, as I've heard, is to stimulate cannatourism and to help regulated dispensaries, which actually are under a lot of regulations, and consumption lounges to offer entertainment venues for groups of people that could include non-cannabis users. So think of it as a cool club that you can go to, enjoy the music, and smoke pot if you want to. I think it's very hopeful and exciting. There was some reluctance on the part of another of others, but they lost. We have another caller. Hi, you're in the studio.
Oh, okay. I'm not in the studio. I'm on the phone.
On the phone. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just wondering, what are the promises and all that stuff that what's his name, the guy who's going to be president, seems to offer?
I'm very curious to see what the more conservative Republican lawmakers do with cannabis legalization.
I don't think Donald Trump, I don't think he can actually, like, nix all the stuff that has happened here. I don't think he can.
Well, I like that kind of thought. I do. And you may well be right about that. There's, and this is kind of fantasy, but there's good reason for optimism to my mind, because Donald Trump and the whole conservative side of things are into making money. And cannabis makes money. And it could make a lot more if the right laws were passed. I have no confidence that Donald Trump knows how to grow pot.
You might know how to grow petunia, but I don't know pot.
Yeah, I don't know about pot. Petunias, maybe. But anyway, yeah, you have a good evening.
Yourself, bye.
Uh-huh, bye. So that was interesting call. So to get back to AB 1775, when I heard about it, I thought, what do you mean non-cannabis infused food and non-alcoholic beverages? Oh, we're having fun now. But it turns out that cannabis cafes and entertainment zones are also, how do you say it, on the menu. This, in fact, it's Senate Bill 969, authored by State Senator Scott Weiner from San Francisco. And this, in fact, would allow consumption of cannabis goods on their premises. Here's the quote. Senate Bill 969, authored by State Senator Scott Weiner, will let local governments designate entertainment zones, which just seems to have all kinds of possibilities. Just think about the fairs down in San Francisco and how this would, you know, I think that they could erupt. You'd just be party, party. At least that's what I'm thinking. And this would be where bars and restaurants can sell alcoholic beverages for people to drink on public streets and on the sidewalks. This is pretty exciting news. It would allow what a lot of us have wanted to happen, marijuana pretty much completely out in the open. Weiner says getting people out in the streets to enjoy themselves is critical for communities across our state to bounce back from the pandemic. Now, you all remember the pandemic, and it has had lasting impact. And the state and businesses are still struggling in one way or another to get completely back on their feet. So these two bills by themselves possibly make 2025 an exciting place. But wait, because I'll get into an article that details it more than I can. But it's not only dispensaries that can take advantage of these two bills. It's micro businesses as well. Now, I interpret that to mean that if my farm were a micro business, and this is something that I decided to go for, it's a big pain in the butt, put that aside, regulations are all like that. But all the same, once I get my micro license, I'm expecting to be able to sell cannabis to people who come to my farm. I think that's a really big thing. A little bit later, we're going to talk about a lady, Nelson. Nelson, I had her on as a guest. I'll have her first name soon. But she's from Soul Spirit up in northern Mendo, and I'll have the name of the town any minute. And her complaint is one that both Sunshine and I have talked about many times. I phrase it as happy, smiling faces. All right. Well, she said that she has no way to connect with her customers in the current retail model. Quote, "We never get to tell our story. We never get to introduce what makes our product different from mass produced products," end quote. I'm hoping that being able to move product directly on a farm could make a significant difference. Because I'm not kidding about that happy smiling face, guys. I think that, and it's a common thing in sales, is your personality, your enthusiasm goes towards selling your product as much as anything else. So coming back to more news.
Steve.
Yes.
I do have the name. It's Judy Nelson.
Oh, thank you, Judy.
And Walter Wood.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, Judy. Sorry, Walter. I wish my mind were as sharp as I'd like it to be. I do remember the show, though. In fact, if you're listening, I'd appreciate your call. Give us a call. I would like, in fact, to hear more about your concern, because telling our story is big. We are up against it. Our listeners have talked about it, and the show has talked about it for a long time. And the big scare and threat is that large players are going to just smoke the whole industry, so to speak. And I've long said they don't stand a chance against real people. That's you and I, guys. But maybe I'm just being hopeful. Anyway, I'd love to hear from Judy.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
So let's get back to areas for growth in 2025. Now, I mentioned that it's the big players that I was getting most of this information about, but I believe that the smaller guys will benefit from this too. We've all, myself included painfully, have faced the bulk sales conundrum. I understand that pot's going for as little as $200 a pound. That's friggin' ridiculous. It's just straight out crazy. It seems to me that I've mentioned this. We need to think outside the box. What else can we work on, push on? What other way can we make our money? Because frankly, you know, I'm old now, but I'm not going to give up on the pot. I think it's just too important. In any event, here's one way that you could try for growth that avoids the bulk issue. All right, so health and wellness. People are very receptive to health and wellness. Now, generally, that's considered CBD. But often, I think CBD clouds the value of THC itself. Sure, you get blitzed on THC and you don't on CBD. But THC offers a lot. Both CBD and THC offer pain relief. CBD, sleep improvement. I've recently had medical issues and I had to back off a smoking pot. If you were in the studio now, you'd see my bleeding heart right now, bleeding all over the floor. But my surgeon said, no, no, no. And I started having vivid, lucid dreams. I mean, so lucid that I would wake up in the middle of the night and look around because I thought I was somewhere else. But put that to the side, pot often helps you sleep deeper and longer. Now, here's something. It was suggested that in health and wellness perspective, pot creates anxiety reduction. Now, many people talk about smoking pot and getting anxious. I've heard it over and over since the 70s. But pot, well, personally anyway, has never gotten me anxious. You know, I've never been freaked out after I smoke pot. In fact, I'd like to hear from listeners if they have any input on that. Anyway, my research, which I don't have a lot on, says that it creates anxiety reduction. And then the final item is skincare, cannabis skincare. And I'd like to hear from somebody who knows something about that because honestly, I don't know a thing. I've put cannabis into coconut oil, as an example, and made a little salve, and then used that salve to put on my sore neck muscles. And it really worked. It really helped a lot. But that's not skincare. Anyway, another item beyond the health and wellness, and I've often thought that we've missed a bet on this one. Basically, it's lower THC and perhaps even some version of microdosing. Though I'll admit, I don't quite get microdosing pot. But the lower THC I do get. Now, many of you may not realize, but back in the day, cannabis quite commonly was 17%, 15%. And I remember, and I was getting wasted on 15% THC. Well, that's changed. Not so long ago, my cookie was coming in at like 24%. And then the next thing I hear is it better be 30 or we're not buying it. And then other ways of working and manufacturing the pot have brought the THC levels even higher. I frankly don't care for those. They get me too loopy. But what the point I'm getting to is I have heard repeatedly from people who are older and not like really old, but like in their 40s and in their 50s. And they don't want to get loopy. They want to have, what would you call it, a more controlled high. And so consumers are seeking this, a more controlled, mild experience. And if you think about it a bit, it makes a lot of sense. So the big question is, how do you market it? So I'll tell you a story, and I think I've told this story before. Back in the good old days, I grew some Blue Dream. I like Blue Dream. It was beautiful, fragrant, juicy, everything, except it didn't get you high for a long time, maybe 20 minutes. At that time, I was a serious user. I wanted to sell it. My buyer, I was trying to sell it to him. And I said, look, I've got this utterly great product and I'm holding it in my hand and I've got a joint of it in my other hand. And I'm telling him, this is really good. The only problem is it doesn't keep you high. And you could see him almost step back. And I said, what do you think? And he said, no, that won't work. And I says, why? He says, well, I can sell him a joint of OG and they just smoke half the joint. I stopped talking about it because I could see he wasn't getting it. But there's something going on here. And that brings us to the idea of microdosing. I know about microdosing acid and microdosing mushrooms. And it's actually a special and unique experience. It really is. But microdosing pot, does that just mean you don't get high? Now, it may be that people who don't use a lot of pot could really use or be able to effectively use the microdosing concept. I just don't know. If there's anyone out there who perhaps has a relative who likes to smoke but doesn't smoke as much as they do, maybe you can throw some light on this whole microdosing thing. Now, the way I've heard it explained is it allows users to enjoy the therapeutic benefits of cannabis without getting, well, the quote is without getting intense psychoactive effects. My word for it is loopy. Anyway, so, but that still brings us back to the how do we get dispensaries to accept a lower THC? And I'm not sure because they have a bottom line. And if they're not selling, well, they're going broke. It brings us back again to another topic, education, that Sunshine and I have mentioned many times. And it seems such a hard sell, you know. And I would hope that being able to get somebody on your farm or at a consumption event could make a big difference here. Hey, come on over here. Why don't you try this? And they're smoking Blue Dream. I've got another caller. Let's get him in.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Okay, hey, blessed mud in your ears, guys, girls.
Yeah,
you
we're know, here. Go ahead.
I'm right by the highway here, so I apologize for the traffic.
Well, you're sounding great, guy. I don't hear anything except
okay,
you.
Okay, I appreciate that. You know, I was thinking about that Blue Dream. It was one of the only herbs that I smoked that I could read a book. And I was, like, amazed at that. And I thought, all right, that's something to keep in your little pocket, you know, when you get a chance. And if you're only high for 20 minutes, that's a good read, you know?
Yeah, I'm not very fast reader. This is a great point you're bringing up.
I just know that Blue Dream just is one of those sativas, that top of the hat there, mate, sombrero or what have you. And I just, you know, I don't mind, you know, little skunk, but we don't even have a skunk anymore because you could smell it from a mile away and people got rid of it. But all of them are different, and that's the great thing. All of us are different. That's also a great thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think there's some really nutball, strange people out there, including myself, because we're in the situation that we're in, and I blame myself.
Oh, well,
I tell you what, Blue Dream is a good way to start to get out of that hole.
I love this.
Read a book, baby. Thank you, K-Mud.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Peace.
Thanks for your call. Who would ever have thought that cannabis could promote reading? But I do remember smoking weed that was much more potent than Blue Dream and reading. And I somehow seemed to go over the same line over and over again. If I kidded myself, I thought I was deeply studying the poetry, but I think I was just high. But anyway. Then areas for growth. This has sort of the same problem that low-dose THC has, is how do you get it across to the consumer? How do they find out that you are offering this? Because I think they want it. In fact, are demanding it. This would be sustainably grown product and an ethical production of that product. And it's something I think is rife for big corporate interests to prey on. Hey, no, we're sustainable. And we're so ethical, you can't believe it. You've never seen anything like how ethical we are. And so I take pause. But I happen to know personally that sustainability and ethical production is something that is all over the hills here in southern Humboldt, all of Humboldt. And I know kind of from the grapevine, but that customers are demanding sustainably produced cannabis. Wasn't always that way. And it would be nice if sales simply weren't dominated by the price. You know, your sustainable pot is so nice, Steve, but you want to bump up on the price and they won't go for it. Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't think they really would. You know, one of my stories is, again, in the old days, I just grew the best pot I could. I worked hard at it. I didn't actually think I was going to get a better price. But when it went on the table and my pot left the table and I got money and other people's pot was still sitting there, they made zero. I made, well, whatever they gave me. And I was trying as much as I could to grow a sustainable product. And as a way to adapt and as a way to save money, growing sustainably makes a difference. Most of you are familiar with Korean natural farming and permaculture principles. There's other terms you could use to cover the same thing. Growing the soil and not worrying about growing the plant so much. The soil will take care of it. I think that these are important points to consider. This last year, I used an aspect of Korean natural farming. I was trying to save money, right? And I didn't want to buy fertilizer, and I didn't want to buy extra special additives, that all of that is so expensive. So I had already started making compost windrows and incorporating the compost, and I had already started using cover crops. But both those things are kind of labor intensive, And that means they're costly, whether I like it or not. But I found out about fermentation, and I moved forward with that. My first encounter was my green spring grass, which I cut, and I put it in a barrel, a pickle barrel, and I covered it. And I came back in like 3 or 4 days, and I could see little bubbles on top of the water. It was fermenting. I sieved out all of the plant matter, and I just had the ferment. Whoa. It really made a difference. My lemons were crazy, okay? My tomatoes, my eggplant, and of course, my pot. I got a caller. Let's get him in.
Caller, you're on.
Hi, you're in the studio. How you doing?
Hi, hon. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I enjoy your program. I kind of got up here, went up here to kind of get away from the whole scene down south, but kind of all happened again up here. But anyway, the deal is basically, have you what pharmaceuticals are, right? Have you heard of electroceuticals? So basically, have you heard of Rife frequencies? So you can put all this stuff in a Rife frequency and send it out, okay?
Well, so tell us about it.
The big guys got us doing the legwork, and I'm not involved with it anymore. But anyway, they had everybody doing all the legwork, right, collecting the stuff off the top. But see, they're way ahead of us because they got this Rife frequency, right? This Rife frequency, you can have frequencies of any medication.
Whoa.
And send the frequency into the body.
That's crazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, have you ever heard of Royal Rife?
No. Tell me about
Royal
it.
Royal Rife. Okay, so Royal Rife basically figured that he could send a frequency into a bacteria or a virus and kill it. And that's the thing the pharmaceutical and all the big boys don't want you to know about, right? Because everything is frequency, right?
Okay. Well, we're a pretty inventive bunch in this industry, and frequencies can't be that hard to generate and make. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no. You can actually buy a Rife frequency generator for about a couple $100. So basically, you can send it through the airwaves, like a cell phone signal or radio signal.
I really want to hear more about this. I mean, suddenly I'm thinking of playing music to my plants was a good idea.
This is like 10 years ago, but people around me are going like, let's hustle and do this. Right now I'm like, wait a minute. They've got this in a really subtle form here, and you're talking about the health and wellness area?
Yeah.
This is like homeopathic stuff, right? So it's not going to hit you like a hammer. It's really subtle. So you know what homeopathy is, right?
Yes. Yeah, very subtle.
A small amount to produce a slight effect.
This is fascinating. I appreciate
you. Yeah, so you have to do is Google something like Royal Rife Therapy.
I'm writing it down. Royal
Electroceuticals. Yeah.
That's
to think about.
That's
thanks.
A name.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Hey, thanks
well,
for your
a,
call.
Have a great show.
Thank you. I'm writing that down, too. Electroceuticals. That's beyond my spelling. I don't know. Maybe I'll figure it out. But that is fascinating. And it'd be wonderful if there were really large trade group research happening that would benefit everybody, not just the big guys who have the big bucks. We got another caller by chance? Okay, let's get him in. Oh, we lost him. Please call back. We'll get you in.
Caller, you're on.
Oh, you're there. Hey.
Hey, Steve. I've called in a couple times before this. I love the show.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm in and I'm hauling firewood in and out per usual. And I heard something about rye, and I thought this is what he was talking about, and the energy or whatever. And isn't it true that I thought I had it right, that the original LSD was the mold from rye.
That's right. You did get it right. That's right.
Okay. Is that, I don't know if that was what he was talking about.
Now, I'm not sure you can eat the mold, right?
Well, they did on accident back in the day.
Okay.
That's how they discovered the...
That's how they discovered it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not suggesting it as a, you know, anything, but I just thought that might have been what he was talking about.
I don't know.
Great discussion tonight.
Okay, hey, thanks for your call. Call back.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Okay, bye.
You bet. I appreciate that call. I suddenly had a vision in my head of a bunch of mold, and I saw it like sitting in a dark corner of my house. acid mold. That's, I don't know. It seems like a crazy concept. But I don't know if it's that crazy. One of the Korean natural farming ideas is to take stuff from your very own forest and then mold it up and then use that product to fertilize your plants. Do we have another caller?
We do. Caller, okay. You're up.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, certainly can.
The fungus you guys were talking about on that grows on rye that they extracted, at least if not the active ingredient and the precursor chemicals for LSD, that's called ergot.
I've ergot. Good going.
Yeah.
Ergot, yeah.
I wanted to say I do believe that the medicinal aspect of marijuana has not been, you know, publicized or popularized to the degree that it can or should. I just want to really make this point clear is that it's not just me, but other people who have had medical issues that I've talked to basically say the THC acid form, it's called THCA, it's not the Delta 9 THC. And I know there's multiple kind of isomers or what have you of THC, but if you don't heat, the bud or THC, it mostly is in the THC acid form, which is non-psychoactive and has great medical benefits. So there are people who are using, you know, extracts with THCA, and I myself have taken an oral kind of its extract. Made by one of our wonderful local Southern Humboldters, Golden Dragon. I've mentioned them before. But they make a syrup out of bud, and it's both delicious and non-psychoactive, and it's helped me immensely with my arthritis. So, and I think the person who called in and was talking about, I think he was talking about not so much the ergot fungus or aspect of the rye or whatever he was talking about, the guy who came up with this therapy. That was, but what he did mention is that it's not as hard-hitting as pharmaceuticals tend to be. It's more subtle, and I find that to be true of, I mean, they say that about a lot of herbal supplements as well, and I think the THCA and CBD and stuff like that, I mean, you can feel it, but it is more subtle than a narcotic pharmaceutical will be, right?
Right.
So I just think that, I mean, I've heard Sunshine and another caller even call in. They talk about, like, juicing the raw leaves, maybe extracting or mixing it in with, like, I don't know if it's coconut milk or what, and
smoothies.
No one was making wild claims, but they did seem to indicate that it potentially could even cure cancer and stuff like that. So I think the plant is an amazing medicinal plant, and I think we all, like, sort of in the past have kind of snickered and said, yeah, you know, we're growing medicine without actually believing it. And I think that when people get, like older people especially, get to try it and for its medicinal use and not for its necessarily its psychoactive use, I think that's when you're going to see the, or the potential for the use and sales to go through the roof if it's not, you know, totally controlled by the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah. You know, so, a little earlier I was talking about out-of-the-box thinking, and that's just what you're telling me now. You know, it's
yeah, we need to introduce it to the, there's tons of us older people. I'm one of them. I'm in my 50s, and time catches up with us all. So, you know, you might be feeling great as a younger person and just want to smoke or dabble in cannabis for its the you know psychoactive effects, which I'm also pro. But I definitely cannot tolerate those high THC cannabis strains or whatever. It's like, yeah, I get the heart pounding. I mean, that I guess is similar to what some people would call anxiety inducing
okay.
effects. And so I don't like that at all. I like to have one hit of probably a, I don't know what the percentages are, but I'm assuming that's in that 19-20% range.
Right.
I like to have one hit and basically be functional. And what it does to me is it like makes it feel like the sun has come out, puts me in a good mood, and makes me actually active, and I can do a bunch of work and do what I need to do without being dumbfounded, you know, just totally overly stoned like I would be if I was smoking, you know, even more powerful, higher percent concentration Delta 9. Anyways, I'm rambling here, but just want to really stress the true medicinal aspect. And I just don't think that people, you know, have even the people producing it have really discovered the true medicinal aspect of it, and that's what needs to be like promoted, and the rest of us will catch on.
Hey,
as soon
thanks.
As if we get a chance to try it and discover what a medicinal supplement it can be.
Well, thanks for your input, Guy. I appreciate
the
call.
I'll get off the air. Thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Before we take our next caller, I'd like to add something to this caller. There's a company out there called Squeezed Cannabis Company. Squeezed Cannabis. And they offer cold-pressed juices. Now, I can't remember his name, but I had a local doctor. He was on as a guest one time who advocated making smoothies out of raw cannabis leaf because, just like our caller says, it offers something different than the heated or processed leaf. And I think it's well worth exploring. Anyway, I appreciate our caller. We have another one, don't we? Another caller. Hi, how you doing?
Hi there. I just had a little bit more information on the rice machine.
Oh, please, tell us.
That it is a real thing, believe it or not.
It is a real thing. This is good.
Yeah. And what the caller mentioned about the man who invented it, I can't remember. It's like, you know, way back, and he got arrested, like in like the 1800s or something, or 1900, whatever. But anyway, there was a woman that did it up in Arcata. I don't know if she still does, but she had an office, and she specialized in muscle testing.
Okay.
And she was really talented at being able to translate the information from somebody's body into through muscle testing with her own fingers, learned these number frequencies that were in this big book that she would program the frequency into the rice machine. And it had these two handles that put out the, I think it might be like the opposite frequency of whatever disease that is. And that caller is right. about everything you said. But
this
the machine
is too cool.
that
this is so
we
cool.
actually bought, because my partner had Lyme, and we actually ended up buying a machine, and it was like $2,500, you know, like 20 years ago or something, 15
right.
years ago.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Well, thanks for backing up our previous caller, and it sounds like a little research on the internet would reveal a lot more information about this. This is fascinating with the frequencies and all.
It is. It's really, it's like, it looks like those balls that you used to be able to buy that you could, like, would go to music or you could put your hand on, you know, and make
I know. It's, it sounds
you know
like
I mean?
It's, I know, it sounds like it's make-believe, but it actually isn't.
Yeah, but, just a quick couple other things.
Sure.
First of all, I loved Blue Dream as when I grew it and smoked it. I'm with you on that. And another thought I had, when you, you know, with our decline in our economic area and everything, and going towards the health with the pot, I think that's so right on. And I also think about expanding it as far as, like, health retreats here, you know? Because we all have such these beautiful places out here in the hills. And to maybe someday that this could become, like, the health retreat area of California or something like that. And it could be another way of incorporating what we all love between, you know, weed and this place and the way you're talking about the gardening and sustainable, but to, you know, keep it all going, a facet off of that.
I that's thinking outside the box, like I was talking about before, and I think it's so important, especially for the smaller farms.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to bring the show to a close. We're at the top of the hour. I really appreciate your call. Thanks for sharing this with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I never do this, so I appreciate the time and
well,
you doing your show.
Then you're going to have to do it again.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
Yeah.
Okay, take care, everybody.
Okay, thank you. We are at the top of the hour. I can't take any more callers, unfortunately, but there were a couple of things I did want to mention. I was starting to talk about adapting. I was mainly thinking about smaller businesses adapting. And product diversification is a clear way to do that. For example, grow seeds and sell those, okay? Jump on this cafe idea. I've heard that delivery as a business is picking up. Now, whether it picks up here in Humboldt, I can't say. Everybody and his brother grows pot. But fresh frozen could also be a real interesting thing to explore and an interesting way to go. I wanted to mention real quick that the smaller businesses, in order to survive, you're going to have to engage in niche differentiation. You're going to have to pick small things that the big guys simply can't do. Also, in another reform that's happened in 2025 is the Safe Banking Act is coming out. And I don't know if it's available just yet, but it's supposed to increase and enable more banking options for us. Finally, and kind of quick. And then you have places like Texas, which is, I'm sorry, Texans, but it's kind of a hellhole. Texas is proposing currently to make a blanket THC ban. No THC in the state. You can only imagine that is going to destroy legit cannabis business. It just seems like such a dumb idea. In any event, we really are right at the top of the hour. I appreciate all of our callers. You've just made the show. And just like I mentioned to the lady who just called, don't be shy. Call again. She had absolutely killer input. So next week, Sunshine will be with us. And I'm uncertain who we'll have on board as a guest. I want to remind you that you have been listening to KMUG Community Radio's The Cannabis Show. And we've been talking about the future and the past. So tune in, listen in, call in. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
This has been a KMUG podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.